I was supposed to tell this story about how Kane had this girlfriend that he killed in a car crash. And it was just insane. And it ends up, I'm at a funeral home with a dummy in a coffin.
Oh, my God.
With Kane's mask on, pretending I'm Kane. I'm on top of the coffin having mock sex with this mannequin.
Oh, my God, no. And Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. And Vince is yelling at me, God damn it, do it harder. Make more noise and stuff. It's got to be over the top.
I really did. I screwed your brains out.
I was just telling Bryant that I was thinking about something since Bruce Mitchell has turned into a pariah and we're like one of five podcasts on earth that actually defended him.
That first proud week, of it, too.
That first week or two in January, goes, I don't know, should I listen to your podcast this week? I'm like, it's fine. We only thought you should be lynched and killed a couple of times. It's fine.
Yeah.
I was just thinking there was a story a couple of years ago, and they had the audio allegedly of it was Tessa Blanchard supposedly shooting for fun and profit.
Yes, I do remember this.
I think it'd be like if you were into that, it'd be super easy to get somebody to shit for you now with Venmo and PayPal. You can just have that money over there and just start. All right, I'm not turning on the spigot until I see that in the old Venmo. But let me just say, I ate a bunch of fiber today. We could be in for a treat if you just go ahead and.
Such a turn on.
So the story came out that it was like not right or whatever. It was like it wasn't really her. And Bruce was insisting that Brian and I go on and apologize. Really? Remember, it's such a strange moral code for somebody who worships Duke University. It's such an odd, specific moral code for the university that produced Stephen Miller and Rand Paul. It's so odd.
Please go and apologize for something that you're just basically repeating.
I don't think we impugned or anything. I thought it was funny. I mean, it did turn out to be, did I lead to her not getting booked? I don't think so. I mean, I think she kind of fucked herself on that one, didn't she?
Yeah, I don't think we had anything to do with that one.
So yeah, and then I was just thinking about that because, you know, he's been in all this, he's been in all this trouble morally and with the internet.
He was looking out for our best interest, you know, that's
not
what
really.
It was.
No, he was looking for a big fat, I told you so. That's essentially like everybody else. He's just looking for a big old fat, I told you so.
Swallow this.
That makes the other story even better about the one we can't tell about the shit that was in the car that time that I swear to God, he said, you were there.
Oh, he was denying the hell out of that.
He said that we could put that on the fucking podcast. That was way back in the Realm Network days. Fuck those guys, by the way.
Well, you know, that's a whole different thing. But
we put out the story that he told us.
I heard him. I was two feet from him.
We were coming back from Irish Potato Road, and he's like telling us.
We were on Irish Potato Road.
We're like, man, that's a great story. We should use that. And he's like, yeah, fine. And then I did it. He's like, Paul, oh my God, Jerry McDivitt's going to sue you, and like pestilence and plagues and frogs and river of blood, and oh my God, locusts. All right, I'll take it down. I had to call up stupid Mark Ron and go, yeah, we got to unpublish that shit.
But you know,
Mark was like, go, okay.
Okay.
I mean, I swear probably on this season of Dark Side of the Ring, you're going to see it. I'm like, we did. We were talking. That's not right. We should be able to.
Dark Side of the Podcast.
But you know, if you think about it, with the Tessa Blanchard shitting, that was really the first Elimination Chamber. No, it wasn't. It wasn't the first one. She won the Elimination Chamber.
I was going to say that.
She won. Congratulations to Tessa Blanchard for winning the Elimination Chamber.
You win the golden turd.
The audio, as I remember, was just preposterous, wasn't it? Don't you remember? It was like... I've never been into that because, like, you know, I know my name is Whitmire, but I'm only so German. I've always like been like, the Germans are fucked up when it comes to sex. They're just weird as shit.
How fucked up are they?
So fucked up they poop on each other. It's like a thing. I don't understand it.
That one's out of my league too, dude.
Well, I think my girlfriend was telling me, hey, don't be so judgmental. They're just free with them. No, they're not. No, they're not free. That's not free. Like,
that's nasty.
I'd like R. Kelly to make that defensive court. You know, I was just being free with myself, man. That's my sin here. You know, the Jim Cornette, I just had an interesting sex life. That was the great defense on all of his shit, right?
Yeah, yeah, interesting.
R. Kelly. Yeah, I'm just being free with my body. That's all I'm doing.
Yeah. What do you think, Judge?
By God, she shit hat. By God, she won the elimination. She eliminated her vow. She won. By God. I don't know. I don't. Like I said, I don't get into it. I don't. Jeez, I can't even imagine. I once paid somebody to shit on me. It was called a divorce settlement.
they don't really exactly word it that way, but
no, yes. But that's what you're doing. You're basically essentially. I'm sorry for masticating or eating here, but I'm going to do it. I got a couple of these delicious Ritz crackers that are made with wheat from the National Biscuit Company.
Wheat?
No, made with wheat. I was telling you the Sammy Guevara story.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild, right?
It's wild, but I'm not real surprised at it. Are you? I mean, it sounds kind of like something he would do just based on what we know about him, I guess.
You're being very judgmental of Mr. Guevara. You're being really judgmental of Mr. Guevara.
Am I though?
This is the story from Wrestling Inc., and it's been reported all over the place. Sammy Guevara not expected to do any work for Impact Wrestling. It was recently reported that Guevara had heat with AEW officials over an Impact angle. This reportedly led to Guevara being pulled from the recent Impact TV tapings. The story was that Guevara quit the Inner Circle in the AEW storyline, and to play off that angle, Chris Jericho proposed an idea for Sammy to appear on Impact, and then officials worked on plans with AEW fanboy Tony Khan. We have anything new from Urban Meyer's Jaguars this week, Brian?
I haven't looked, but yeah. Nothing stood out.
Did they hire anybody else who decided that they hated black people or no? Yeah?
I haven't looked, but I wouldn't doubt it. I think Chuck Woolery's probably getting hired for strength conditioning coach or some shit. I don't know.
It'll be the PA announcer or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Paula Deen's going to be the official caterer of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Southern cooking, y'all.
Now, if Shad Khan lowers the flags to half staff for Rush Limbaugh, then you'll know that that's like a piece of shit organization.
Well, that's pretty much a red flag, if you will.
Say so. Guevara did not fly to Nashville the day before the scheduled Impact tapings and rescheduled himself to arrive in Nashville just a few hours before the tapings would begin. It was reported that Guevara began texting Impact officials about alternative ideas and not wanting to do what was agreed to.
Impact sounds like he might be getting a little big for his old britches.
But you're not being fair. They book all kind of shit on Impact. So, I mean, he doesn't work for them. So why would he be – I mean, obviously, Tony Khan said, go do this. Okay, what? Make your argument here.
All right. I'm basing it on the way the story's being told.
Yeah.
But you're right. It may be just something that he's like, okay, well, I've got – how about – let me run this by you. You know, he didn't make it sound like I'm too good to do this. Well, let's do it my way or the highway kind of thing, you know. But the way the article came across to me, and I got to tell you, based on some of his stuff in the past, it just came across as a little arrogant there. But now that you say that, maybe it was – all taken out of context. Who knows? Well,
we've gotten him past casually remarking on wanting to rape people. I mean, that's at least something, right?
Okay. Well, you know, that I know he apologized, but it didn't go away. I mean, he still did it, you know?
He didn't do it. That's true.
So, I mean, you can't help but think about that. And I don't know. I just, but, you know, okay. I'll give you that. You're right. It could have been very innocent. So,
Impact officials.
I'm just, like I said, I'm just basing it on history more than anything.
Yeah, but the history is Impact makes people do stupid shit.
Okay, well, it is Impact.
I had this story on the Super Studcast. It was a Danny Hodge story. Danny Hodge was scheduled to wrestle the heavyweight champion of the world, Luthez, back when Luthez was heavyweight champion and Danny Hodge was junior heavyweight champion. So Leo McGurk said, all right, you're going to split pinfalls and we go to a draw. And Thez heard about this and goes, no, I'm going to have to win both the pinfalls. I'm sorry. And they went back to Danny Hodge. They go, Danny Hodge goes, now, doesn't matter to me. I don't give a shit as far as ego. I mean, it's all a work, but I work for Leo McGurk. Leo McGurk said, I need to split these pinfalls. And if I don't do it, then he's probably going to fire me. And I'm probably have trouble getting work in this business. So, and he goes, they said, well, you know, Lou doesn't want it that way. And they said, and Danny Hodge goes, you tell Mr. Thez to grab his best hold.
I'm sorry, grab his best what?
Oh, hold. Grab his best hold. And they split the pinfalls because you ain't going to fuck with Danny Hodge. You just ain't. Because if it turns into a shoot, you're going to lose. I'm sorry. Man. I don't care who you are.
Junior heavyweight or not.
Don't matter. It don't matter, man. You want to. Impact officials reportedly nixed Guevara from the tapings, and Jericho told Guevara to fly home after Guevara landed in Nashville. Cornette made the point. He's like, I don't know if it was like, oh, fuck you, fly back home, or it's like, okay, come on back home. I'm not going to use you. So we don't know which one it is. More on Christopher Jericho later. Because did you hear the news about him and his family?
When you said that, I was running stuff through my head. I don't know if I've heard this or not. I don't think so.
We'll get to there. The role Impact had for Guevara was given to Black Taurus of the Decay. Well, I mean, it must have been a killer idea if they gave it to that guy.
Oh, you know,
it must have been so.
That's a hot number two right there, man.
Dude, you just turned down the 21st century gobbledygooker. I just want you to know that, okay? A license to print money, you fuck.
You fool.
Well, honestly, this is why the things don't work. They always, again, Tony Khan thinks he's reinventing the wheel, and they've done, you know, interpromotional shit all the time, and this is why it always fails, because somebody has an idea. I don't work for you. I don't want to do your idea. You're going to make me look like a chump. So I can't go back to my boss. But then Tony Khan is just this Pollyannish. Okay, everything's fine. It's all for the fans and all this other bullshit. Well,
you know, and that's now that you say that, that's something else we kind of, I guess, at least I had to or probably need to take into consideration is the fact that what, if anything, was said between AEW and Impact on how to and what you can't do, and or is he just like, okay, you got Guevara, do whatever you want, you know? Yeah, there's no guidelines or anything.
I would rather you not make our talent look like shit. Love Tony, love TK. Well, you know,
okay, well, here, I get you, but that's something that you really don't need to put in writing. That's kind of a given thing,
you would think, but again,
for most organizations. But yeah,
I think Tony Khan feels like the kind of guy you could walk all over despite his wallet, you know.
Yeah,
he just feels like that kind of guy. Like a guy like Don Callis, a guy like Scott D'Amore, who've been in this business for a while. They've been in more shitty matches in Regina than you could ever imagine. They're going to take that rich boy, prep school fool, and just roll it. I'm sorry, but that's what's going to happen.
I don't know, man. It's plausible.
An update, the Wrestling Observer Newsletter reports that the Impact officials were really mad about AEW sending talents over for the Impact programming, putting plans in
place. Really mad? Wow.
I'm sorry. I think they're pissed because they felt like AEW should have held Sammy Guevara's feet to the fire. I think that's what the problem is. And, of course, VP Chris Jericho.
VP.
That's his point of contact? Like, okay, you report back to Chris if there's any problems, Sammy. You betcha, boss.
Yeah, that is kind of weird now that you say that, too. I didn't really think about that either, but why would he call it? Well, you know, okay. Devil's advocate. See, you got me thinking too hard on this when you said that, right, when I was all just set against Sammy Guevara. Now I'm thinking about everything here. But maybe he did call Tony Khan, and Jericho was not exactly the only person he called, but, you know, it was just one of the people he called. So I'm not going to say anything about that.
Well, it seems like he was the point of contact on this whole situation. It was noted that everything.
If that's the case, then yeah, that is weird.
It is, but they got 143 vice presidents, and like each of them has a fiefdom of four talents or something. Of course it is. It was noted that everything appears to be smoothed over at this point, but there are people in Impact who said the company was not happy at first with how everything went down and that it could have impacted the relationships. I don't
see
how?
That's what kind of made me.
How does that happen? Like, I'm dating Margot Robbie. I'm with Margot Robbie. Margot Robbie eats all of my Chips Ahoy. And I told her, I said, don't eat all my fucking Chips Ahoy. And she does it anyway. And I go and I confront her like on Saturday morning. I go, hey, bitch, you ate my Chips Ahoy again. This could impact our relationship. What's Margot Robbie going to say to me?
Fuck off.
Yeah, that's probably what she's going to say. Because I think that my point would be AEW is like way more invested in this relationship than Impact is. And AEW doesn't need Impact. Impact needs AEW.
That is true.
So, you know, Margot Robbie goes, I can dump you and get another guy in about 33 seconds if I try really not hard at all. And fuck you, I'll eat all your Chips Ahoy and you can blow me. Which I'd kind of like to see that.
Yeah, I'd like to. Yeah, I get your point there.
So you can be pissed off all you want to, but you need the national exposure of the much bigger television channel and the wrestling promotion than they need your 420, well, no, I think it's that much, 200,000 viewers on Mark Cuban's Junior Varsity channel, whatever, you know, whatever it is now.
Yeah.
They still have those shows on Access, like Eric Clapton tunes his guitar. They still have shows like that over there?
I think so. I haven't seen Access. I don't have that now.
It's the Moody Blues live in the caverns of, I don't know, someplace. They always do some shit like that.
I did recognize that they did have some kind of off-the-wall stuff on there.
It's wacky, some of the shit that they have on there. It's My Morning Jacket live in Mannheim, Germany.
Yeah.
Hang on. Let me grab the remote. Hope I got room on the DVR for that. I'll just have to go ahead
and crank it up.
I'm going to have to race some monks in order to get that happen. I don't know if that's going to happen. There are people in Impact said the company was not happy at first with how everything went down and that it could have impacted the relationships. Guevara is not planned to be coming back. Still word, no word on if any other AEW Impact storylines were affected. Stay tuned for more. Well, you're just going to have to take shit and eat it, Impact, because, I mean, you started in this marriage, and you needed them, and they don't need you, so fuck off. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is.
You're the junior varsity here. Sorry.
So what if Impact goes, that's it, we are not working with you anymore? Oh, I'm devastated. Oh, God, it's over. How are we ever going to? We're not going to have the Good Brothers match that we wanted to need it. Oh, my God, it's terrible.
Yeah, well, I guess at some point you're going to have some rift or issue or something when you have intermixing like that, I guess. But I don't know. I guess I'm just not shocked at who it was. I guess of anybody that was going to make them mad or make them really mad, I guess I would have picked Sammy Guevara over pretty much anybody else in AEW. So that part doesn't surprise me, I guess, but maybe to the degree of what he did, maybe, you know, they may be.
Do you remember the story that happened when they put Ric Flair in the Impact Hall of Fame? And they were like, the WWE put Ric Flair into the WWE Hall of Fame as a member of, I guess it's Evolution.
Yeah.
And he was under contract to Impact. So they did it. They had no right to do it. And basically, Impact said, could have asked for anything. So they go, all right, we're going to have one of your talent companies going to be on our TV show. And you heard, Pritchard's told this story, like, we were expecting, oh, fuck, John Cena. You know, we're going to have somebody like huge, like, come down there. And they fucking pick Christian. Do you remember that shit?
Yeah.
Do you remember the reason that was
for him to stay there for good, or that was just a visit kind of thing?
Do you remember the reason that Dixie loved Christian so much?
I don't remember.
They both had like cats. They were both like cat people or something.
What?
Yes, they were. She loved talking about her cats with Christian.
Really? Oh my God, I don't remember that at all.
It's not even the same reason that, like, she wanted most of the guys around there to bang her. She wanted Christian.
What had to do with a cat?
Yeah, well, that's true. There was some pussy involved. That's a good point.
Maybe not the same one, but
yeah. I'm looking for this other story because I heard Cornette and them talking about it. They said Chris Jericho's mother-in-law got interviewed by the FBI about the January 6th insurrection.
Wait a minute, hold on.
Yeah.
His mother-in-law?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who may or may not live with him or at least close to them. She may have actually been there, and then she told apparently the FBI agents to fuck off because they're Nazis.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay, well, this really shines a light on things. I was keeping some open doors there, but those doors just slam, 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 slam right now.
It's the weirdest thing. That promotion, that All Elite Wrestling promotion is so weird when it comes to all their politics and shit. Because the Young Bucks apparently are really conservative and super religious and all that shit. Jericho, I think, is giving money to Trump. And now this, his mother-in-law, may have been implicated in the potential violent overthrow of the United States government.
Wow. That's crazy.
Tony Khan's dad gave money to the Trump inauguration thing. You know, Tony Khan's dad also, to an extent, supported the Black Lives Matter and the kneeling and all that shit for a brief moment. At least he joined hands with his players and stuff like that.
Yeah, make up your mind, Tony Khan's dad.
Oh, Shad.
Whose side you're on?
You do kind of have to pick a side at this point. But yeah, they're kind of a right wing organization. Even it's weird. Even Vince at the highest level, it's very bizarre. It's very strange to me that how that kind of goes on. Yeah. I was trying to take a look at that story, but they were talking about it. I mean, Jesus, it's just dreadful. If that's the case.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why would somebody make that up? That's such a weird story to make up. Why would somebody make that up?
It's very odd. Fozzie, this is a quote from a month ago. Fozzie's Billy Gray. You know Billy Gray, the great member of Fozzie?
Yeah.
Dumbass.
I know him as William, but I guess he goes by Billy now.
50 Shades of Ass, because he says, Donald Trump is the best president in my lifetime. Are you five? And even then, you would be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Even then, you'd be wrong. Oh, my God. Let me just reach over here and get this real fast. Oh,
Fozzie, what, you got a gun you're going to put in your mouth? Look at that.
Disappointing.
It's a Fozzie album cover side by Chris Jericho. You're going to do a Dixie Chicks that and put a steamroller to it?
I really want to. I really do want to.
Fozzie guitar. This is from blabbermouth.net. Fozzie guitarist Billy Gray has praised Donald Trump as the best president of his lifetime. Gray, who has previously shared memes questioning mask mandates and suggesting the presidential election
is stolen. All right, here I am, Mr. Judgmental.
That's right. It's
not. Let's see.
Was that the one with the ABBA cover? Had the ABBA cover song on it? SOS, isn't that on the album?
I'm not sure. Yeah. It's got SOS on it.
That's a good song.
Yeah, I like the album. I really do. I'm just sitting here looking at it, and honest to goodness, man, I'm really not sure which one Billy Gray is, but reading what you just read about him, it really could be any of those dudes.
This guy looks to be kind of blondish, and he's got a piercing through his lip. I don't know if that's
he got longer hair or short hair.
In this picture, he has shorter hair than I'm looking at now.
Okay, then it's probably the dude that's looking down on the picture that I have inside the cover.
This is weird. Earlier this month, Sebastian Bach rather took a swipe at Jericho, suggesting that
Sebastian Jacques, is that Paul's brother?
Do we know him? That's the French version of Skeet Row. Hello, Belcouche. Skeet Row. Oh, that's good.
That's funny. I'm sorry, what?
Sebastian Bach took a swipe at Jericho, suggesting that the Fozzy singer and wrestling superstar bears some responsibility for the violent siege on the U.S. Capitol. After writer and comedian Tony Posnanski tweeted that all supporters of Donald Trump, including those who voted for Trump, donated to Trump, and wore any MAGA merchandise, are to blame for what happened to the Capitol, Bach chimed in. This includes wrestlers. God damn, I didn't think I'd be on the same page as that.
Plumbers!
Fozzy spent the last few months putting their finishing touches on the new studio album for a 2021 release. It says the new album is going to have 12 songs, including one cover. There you go.
Okay.
Same producer.
I'll just say this about that. I really don't think we're going to get an apology from Jericho, but that's just me.
It's fucked up. How could that guy be like that? He's so awful.
I know, man. It's just so disappointing. It really is.
He's Canadian.
Right?
What's the deal?
You know, coming out of Canada, I would have thought if you'd have told me one of these two guys, either Lance Storm or Chris Jericho, would be a big Donald Trump supporter and be like the person Jericho is, I would have picked Lance Storm. I would have thought he would have been the one, but he's so total 180 from Jericho.
Absolutely. He's so much smarter and better looking and has a much bigger dick and everything.
Seems to be more intelligent.
You know, I think it's true that mostly a lot of the people who support Donald Trump here are huge rednecks. You know, Canada has a huge number of rednecks. A lot of rednecks in Canada.
So people don't understand. Does that mean there are a lot of are they the supporters like he is then?
Remember Don Cherry, the great hockey commentator? You bunch of jerks called the Carolina Hurricanes. He's been like the Rush Limbaugh of hockey for a long time.
That wasn't his first controversial quote by any means. He's an asshole.
Did you see after they had that hiring freeze and all that shit that we talked about last week, they decided to go ahead and everybody was so pissed off at WWE, they decided to go ahead and give them some stock options?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, well, that's how they paid them off. That's how they decided to go ahead and quell that insurrection.
Yeah.
Here, let's have a couple of and they gave that that Nick Khan guy, they gave him like $447,000 worth of stock. That's basically what it would be valued at as a close of business on Friday. Come on. He wipes his ass with $447,000. I swear that's not even cigarette money for that. He's got that in the couch cushions.
Well, who's to say that's going to be worth $447,000 in 6 months?
Yeah, sell it now, which, by the way, you have to disclose that. It doesn't make you look so good. It makes the company look not great if you go ahead and unload it immediately.
Yeah, a little bit.
Doesn't inspire confidence, as they say.
Yeah.
A lot of people are saying that they feel like Vince is really positioning this thing for a sale, and it would make a lot of sense based on what folks were saying about the value of this deal with Peacock if it was going to be Comcast/Universal who bought it.
Well, that the whole Peacock thing really opened my eyes to it. I'd heard the chatter about it, but I wasn't real sold on it. But when this Peacock thing happened, I'm like, okay, well, maybe so.
You wonder if SmackDown could end up on NBC, maybe on a Friday night.
It is weird how everything is Peacock, Universal, and then there's SmackDown on Fox.
Have you seen – did you watch Young Rock?
No, I forgot.
Dude, there's an Andre the Giant character in it.
Really?
I haven't seen reviews from anybody. And I know this is probably how the wrestling historians, the Brian Last of the world, like, there was never a time when Junkyard Dog, Andre the Giant, and Iron Sheik and Alpha and Sika were working in Hawaii at the same time. This show sucks, which is fine. I mean, I understand. But it was just kind of cute the way they portrayed them. I thought the guy looked exactly like Junkyard Dog. Now, the Andre guy, I'll give you, is a little ridiculous.
The Andre guy?
Yeah, the Andre guy's not that great because you can't really look like him or capture the essence of Andre and all the other shit. Right, it's just, right, it's, right. For what it is, you have to look at it. It's not for geeks like us. It's for the general public. They know, like, Andre the Giant is the guy maybe from The Princess Bride or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
True, true.
And he's pretty funny. And then I thought the guy that played Rocky Johnson on that show, holy shit, that guy looks a lot like Rocky Johnson.
Wow, okay.
You could see, like, 1978 Rocky Johnson, like, oh, my God, that's amazing.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I think you'd have a fun time with it because then the woman that plays his mother, the Rock's mom, holy crap, she looks a lot like that one's scary, too. Now, I don't know about the grandma. I don't know.
All that, is the writing and all good? Is it funny? And
it's kind of cheesy, but it's, I mean, it was interesting. I thought as a pilot goes, it was all right. I don't know if it's got legs or not, because it's like how many stories from your childhood. But they were clearly doing the pilot as a kind of a made-to-order situation. And they had, I guess the guy's name is Randall Park, who played Kim Jong-un in the that movie that Seth Rogen and James Franco put out a few years ago.
The conversation. Yeah.
And he's really good. So they were clearly like trying to sell this to the networks, and they were going through some of these stories. And at the end he goes, I've got some other stuff back from my childhood and even some great stories about Andre the Giant. So it was kind of like, we'll do the pilot and we'll figure it out from there, which is kind of what they did.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole theory, the way that they're doing it is, you know, the year is 2032. Rock is running for president, and he's opening up about who he is because a lot of people don't know who he is, you know? So he sits down with this Randall Park, and they start going through, well, this happened when I was a kid. This is how my life was, and this is what it was, and this was the wrestling business. This was my dad, and blah, blah, blah. And then they talk about him being – they show him as a little kid, and he's hanging out with, you know, Andre the Giant, and they show him as a – young man at the University of Miami, and he's trying to get over with his friends, and they use industry terms like working the gimmick and shit like that. He says to his mom that dad is over at one point during a wrestling match, and I mean, they're using a lot of industry terms and shit like that. I thought it was pretty entertaining, though, overall.
Okay. Well, good. I mean,
I thought it was good. You should check it out. It's really interesting.
I will. Like I said, I just forgot about it. I remember us talking about it and hyping it up, but when it actually came time for it to be on, I forgot about it.
It's a pretty interesting show. I heard the guys on the – I did hear some of the guys on the Pat McAfee show, your favorite guy in the whole world.
Yeah. Let me say this, Bob. Go ahead.
I want to hear your take on Pat McAfee because there were some people who think he's like the greatest heel ever. Like he's like the best heel working today.
Well, you know, I will eat crow when I have to. And I'll eat a little crow right now. I don't mind. I was wrong on him, man.
Wow.
I totally based everything coming from him on people like, and I think I said this too, that people who kind of transition over to wrestling from some other sport, which is usually the case, or acting, but it's generally some other sport, like, you know, Kevin Green and all that stuff, you know, and so I was just had that in mind when he first came in. And, you know, I saw the first Adam Cole thing when he went on his show and the whole work there. You know,
yeah, that was kind of silly. I'll give you that.
And I'm like, okay, this is going to be stupid. I'm like, okay, this Pat McAfee guy thinks he can be a wrestling person and all this stuff. You know, here we go. This is going to be cheap. This is going to be, everything's about him is going to be cheesy, just like this whole Adam Cole thing. Well, I guess I just didn't give it enough time because dude's got some play, man. I'm not going to lie. He's pretty good. So I'll take the loss on this one.
I was listening to his show on Sirius XM and he does a pretty fun guy sports show and it's kind of silly. It's very morning zoo-ish and stuff, but it was fine. And they were talking about Young Rock and they were saying that it divided the staff. Some of them really loved it and some of them really didn't. And it was pretty interesting to hear that.
Well, it's probably what your expectations of it are, I guess, maybe. I don't know.
I would say so. I think it's got some legs to it. Did I miss something or did Titus O'Neil turn heel on Friday night?
I missed this.
Was it Apollo Crews? Apollo Crews turned heel. Didn't he throw like some stairs on somebody?
Yeah, no, he turned heel like with Big E and Shinsuke. Shinsuke. He did turn heel.
So he throws some steps on Big E or something like that. Is that what happened?
Had to take him out in the ambulance, man. to a medical facility.
But not a hospital.
I almost said hospital.
God damn it, don't ever say hospital. It's so stupid. Like, they go,
sorry.
We're going to name this thing after you, Vince, but we have to call it the Vincent Kennedy McMahon Hospital. I don't want it. Fuck you. I don't do that. That is some bullshit. You call it a medical facility. God damn.
You know what my favorite soap opera of all time was?
What was that?
General Medical Facility.
That was such a good one, wasn't it?
I loved it. I couldn't get enough of it.
There's nothing wrong with that one. That was a good show. I got to be honest with you.
You know what? Another one I like?
What's that?
Saint Medical Facility.
It's a very underrated one. Bruce Paltrow.
It was exactly.
Let's go in at
the ending, the final episode. Oh my God!
Who knew? Crazy shit going on there. WWE Elimination Chamber 2021 card. Here we go. Women's Tag Team Championship. It's Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. Oh, they had to redo the thing because Lacey turned out to be pregnant, right?
Yeah. So
Lacey Evans is pregnant with Ric Flair's baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Woo!
I'm 80 years old, going to my kindergarten graduation. Woo!
These are the backstage rumors from BleacherReport.com. Damian Priest receives backstage praise. This is Damian Priest, as well like backstage WWE and management, is impressed with how well he is adapted to his switch to the main roster, according to Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful Select. The Archer of Infamy, which is a stupid-ass nickname. The Archer of Infamy. God. I'd like to flush that in the Elimination Chamber. has made the jump officially to Royal Rumble. He's been aligned with rapper Bad Bunny in what may result in a fairly significant WrestleMania 37 spot. So, yes, he's getting some praise backstage and all that. Update on Lacey Evans' pregnancy. Raj Giri of WrestlingInc.com wrote, Evans is legitimately pregnant. I'm glad.
It's not a work, boys. She's real. I hit the bullseye on that one. I am the genetic jackhammer. I'm still got it going on.
WWE learned of Evans' pregnancy today and changed the direction of the angle with Charlotte Flair. Raj added that Evans was scheduled to face Asuka for the Raw Women's Championship at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view this Sunday. However, the match is now clearly not happening. WWE has yet to announce a replacement for Evans. And the baby is officially an independent contractor. I don't know if you knew that. They don't want the baby getting any residuals. You know, they had a thing in England. They had a ruling in England Supreme Court that said Uber drivers were in court now in English law. They have to be afforded like a salary and benefits. They cannot be classified as independent contractors.
I don't know if that means anything
for us because our laws are different as far as that shit goes. But I think they're eventually going to run out of space here too.
Yeah.
And when that happens, how's that going to affect Vince, you know, with his independent contractor model that he's had for all these years, right?
It's coming to an end eventually. It's got to, man. You just can't keep on doing this shit. Eventually it's just not going to work anymore.
What's the other one? Oh, Bo Dallas and Liv Morgan together.
Yeah, how about that?
Oh, that's crazy. Dave Meltzer.
How about those Rotunda boys? They got it going on with the ladies. Well,
they know how to hit it.
Say what you want about them.
They can hit it, but I don't know if they'll quit it. I'll tell you that. David Meltzer of Wrestling Observer Radio reported that Bo Dallas is still employed by WWE, even there's still no plans to use him at this time. Yeah, because if you let that guy go, that could put AEW over the top. You don't want to do that.
But all these other people are let go, and they're hanging on. I don't get that, but whatever.
He needs a company that's going to book him into something really shitty. Ring, ring, hello, Impact Wrestling.
Ding dong, hello.
Now, listen, we had this stupid thing we wanted to do with Sammy Guevara, but he's too much of a prima donna to make him look like shit. Bo Dallas, you're our boy. Ring, ring.
We're not letting him go.
Dallas struggled mightily following his jump to the main roster in 2014. He has been an inspirational gimmick, a comedic act, and a tag team specialist. But he's never achieved the success levels of older brother Bray Wyatt, despite steady in-ring improvement over the years. I couldn't tell you. I haven't seen the last time I saw that guy in a ring anywhere.
Well, I don't know if you remember or not, but when Bo Dallas was in NXT, he was the shit.
He was, you know, really good. He was really good in NXT.
Yeah, he was the champ for a while. And
they brought him up to the main roster, and Scott D'Amore turned him into a joke. Just hit him. It's terrible. The 30-year-old was last seen on television at Crown Jewel in October of 2019. Bryant? God almighty, that's pre-COVID.
That's pre-COVID. Jeez, and Crown Jewel, of all ones, of all freaking
things. The one where... That's the one where Titus dives under the ring, right? I think that was the show. He has worked some shows, in-house shows since then, but that's all. What the strategy is behind holding on to someone like Dallas while doing nothing with him remains a mystery, Brian. It would be almost like the company doesn't know what the fuck they're doing.
I don't. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Explain, please.
So it's Women's Tag Team Championship, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. Everybody's making a big deal out of Nia Jax when she missed that leg drop, saying something about, "Ah, my hole." Have you seen that?
Yeah, God, have I seen it about a million times. They even played it, you know, played up on it when you heard the line. I think it was Baszler said it, wasn't it?
I think
something
so.
About she had something shoved up her hole, something up her hole. Or, I don't know.
I'm sorry. But
who says that, dude? Who says my hole?
I think people on Pornhub, which I've never been to, so I have no idea. But I think that seems like the website where they would say something like that.
In other words, you're just going on hearsay about Pornhub.
Hearsay, yeah. It's what I hear down at the playground. Oh, wait a minute. I have to stay 1,000 feet away from the playground, so it's near the playground where I hear those things.
Well, I'm just saying. I don't know of anybody that ever says, "Ow, my hole."
Ow, my hole. But maybe if they did, they would get over.
And how would that even hurt her hole anyway, how she landed on the side of the ring? It's not like she was impaled by the ring post.
The way that doctor mistreated CM Punk, I don't want him anywhere near her hole if she injured it. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. Let's let that one end up in court.
Well, I'm sure, you know,
they all right, here's what we're gonna do.
Z-Pack on it.
Z-Pack that hole. Z-Pack it. Z-Pack your hole. God damn it. I like my imitation of Vince getting pissed off.
I should have been drinking when you were doing that.
Z-Pack that hole, god damn it. You put that Z-Pack in there right now. Oh, she shit herself silly. She's lost nearly, and for her, this is a lot, 3 pounds.
Woo!
Yeah. One of her ass cheeks looks at least 4 millimeters smaller than yesterday. I don't know what we're going to do.
Wow.
She's wasting away to nothing. United States Championship, Bobby Lashley versus Riddle versus Keith Lee. It's a triple threat.
Keith Lee on Monday. That's weird.
But
whatever.
Well, you know, Black History Month's almost over, so we got to ramp down on that one. We're gonna cruise.
Be thankful you made it halfway through the month.
God Almighty. Universal Championship. It's Roman Reigns versus the Chamber winner. Universal Championship number one contender elimination chamber match. Kevin Owens, Jey Uso, Cesaro, Daniel Bryan, Sami Zayn, and King Corbin.
Who you got in that one?
I'm going to say this. After I pointed out last month that Daniel Bryan was in the pregame show, and you got to think, why did he decide to come back for this? It feels to me that there's been more emphasis on him. So he may be getting his annual pre-WrestleMania push. So I'm going to go with that. That's going to be my guess is Daniel Bryan. So then you got Roman Reigns against Daniel Bryan. And I don't know how that one turns out. Although, I guess the storyline that you would really want is Jey Uso wins that thing, right?
For the night, yeah.
And then Jey Uso tries very hard to lose to Roman Reigns, but then he fucks up and wins somehow.
That's plausible. That's weird that you say that about Daniel Bryan, though, because I kind of thought that same thing when the whole Edge-Daniel Bryan thing backstage on SmackDown happened.
Right.
And he said something, and Daniel Bryan said something at the end like it's overdue, like their match against he and Edge. You know, they were talking about if he were to win, if Daniel Bryan were to win Elimination Chamber and beat Roman Reigns, how that would be a wrestling match at WrestleMania that would – it's a long time coming kind of thing. So that kind of put a seed in my head a little bit, like, you know, that now there's a storyline, two guys that came back from virtual career ending injuries and lining WrestleMania. So, you know,
we got to beat the brain problems and Roman beat the cancer.
Well, okay. Well, but see, he's a heel. So that's hard to,
it's hard to say.
Roman's a heel. So that's hard to,
he's a heel.
Nah, he's a heel.
The WWE Championship Elimination Chamber match is Drew McIntyre, your champion, defending his championship against Sheamus, Randy Orton, AJ Styles, Kofi Kingston, and Jeff Hardy. Let's go through these. For the Women's Tag Team Championship, it's Nia and Shayna versus Sasha and Bianca Belair. Who do you like in this one? Boy, they've been giving Bianca a mighty, mighty push, and you can see them possibly trying to make Sasha and Bianca the new Sasha and Charlotte, or the new Sasha and Bayley.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was thinking the Charlotte and Asuka.
Oh yeah.
Thing with you know, Bianca winning the Royal Rumble and Sasha holding the belt, and then those two are tag team partners. You could see Bianca, you know, pulling a fast one on her. Maybe
this feels to me what they're doing with Bianca feels like what they did with Naomi a couple of years ago when they were going to Orlando, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't feel. Yeah, it's probably about the same right now. Yeah, it's on the same level.
Oh, have you seen all the? I was seeing some of the different consternation between Britt McHenry and the former Broadus Clay.
Really,
Britt McHenry, the former ESPN awful reporter.
Yes. Yes.
She's accused him of some sexual harassment and some inappropriate texts and some pictures and stuff like that. And now, like, his legal team is saying that she conveniently lost her phone and will not provide it to the defense for a forensic look at it. So yeah.
What are you saying? You think there's some...
I don't know.
I don't know. Some.
It's there's no. It's, it, that's a heel program. That's what that
for
is.
For real. Totally.
That's a heel program.
Brodus Clay.
The United States Championship. I'm going to pick Sasha and Bianca to win the championship for the Women's Tag Team Championship.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think there's going to be some dissension there because, you know, the whole championship thing. So, yeah.
They always can do this. And they did it with Sasha and Bayley. Eventually, you do the two of them breaking up. And then a slow burn on that. But it turned out to be a successful program overall. And you can do Sasha and Bianca. I always like the reluctant tag team thing. If they ever did the thing where the guys who don't want to be together. And Heyman did this with somebody. It might have been Candido and Storm. But it was like they didn't want to be together. And they ended up winning the championship. And Heyman goes, look, you guys better go out there and defend that thing every week. And if I get any idea that one of you or both of you are not giving it your full effort, you're out of here and you'll never be back in ACW. And I think that's a great angle. I think I wish somebody would do something like that.
Yeah, that's I like it. And like I said, when I was saying all that about it, it's going to be like Charlotte and Oscar. I didn't mean I didn't like it. I just think it's going to – that's what it's going to be like. It may not be. I don't know.
If you do that, I don't mind people using the same templates over and over again as long as the execution's good on it.
Yeah, they do it right. Yeah.
United States Championship triple threat. It's Bobby Lashley versus Riddle versus Keith Lee.
See, I don't know, man. I don't know. Something about the Keith Lee, they're thinking he's either hurt or had COVID or got COVID.
Well, now, did they send him down to the Performance Center? Did he learn to wrestle?
Yeah, that whole thing.
Because I need this guy to be able to – I need to be able to have this guy perform a sliced bread number two because that's what's going to get him over.
I don't know, man. I don't
– The only thing I know about this match, I don't know it, but I feel like Riddle's not going to win.
You think he's not going to win?
I think Riddle seems to me like to be the complete afterthought in this match.
See, I'm thinking kind of the opposite. I'm thinking since
it's the man.
Yeah, I think he might win. I just don't. I'm not convinced on the whole Keith Lee thing because he's just not been around much. And I'm there's like, I don't know, these rumors about him and stuff. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of all that. But I'm just. It seemed like they put Riddle on TV a lot. You know, doing all those corny interacting jokes with different people. So.
Oh, they're totally shitting on that guy. Raw Women's Championship, Asuka against to be announced. That was the Lacey Evans spot. Was that Lacey Evans spot?
Was it? Was that who that was? I don't even know.
Universal Championship, Roman Reigns versus the Chamber winner. Well, I've already said I'm picking Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I'm not sure, though. I'm not sure if I want to go with Daniel Bryan, but it would make sense.
They're also kind of sneaky trying to tell you that the Cesaro is getting a little bit more push, too, right?
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I'm – but there's not really been too much of a – I'm thinking he might end up being in a feud with Seth Rollins because Rollins attacked him and he – you know, Cesaro did that – shit to him at the end of the speech that Rollins gave. He stuck around and told him what he thought of him and all that stuff. So it could be, I don't know. Could be wrong, but I don't know, man. Daniel Bryan does sound like a good pick. I like the storyline, man. Edge storyline.
He's one of those guys. He's going to be able to get a good match out of Roman. You know, Roman's only able to do a few things. He doesn't have to do a lot of things that well, but,
well, they have a little history too, you know.
Yeah, there's some history there. I could see Daniel doing some interesting things and trying to get some submission holds on him and shit like that. That'd be very interesting.
I tell you, the one person I don't think's going to win is Kevin Owens. I think he's run his course. Don't you think? I mean, I'm not shitting on him.
They were trying to make the idea like they were like, why would you go out and do what you did? And he's like, well, you know, we're all good now. And you know, they were trying to kind of super heal him. And he's been such a baby face for a little while here. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I he's had so many chances. I just can't see him pulling through this time and I don't know. I can't see Vince putting a belt on Owens right before WrestleMania.
Drew McIntyre in the defending his WWE Championship in the Elimination Chamber against Sheamus, Randy Orton, AJ Styles, Kofi Kingston, and Jeff Hardy. AJ feels like the only real contender in this match to me. I think they put Kofi in there to do all his Kofi shit, you know, which is fine.
Yeah, and Jeff Hardy too, for that matter. That's another one. Yeah,
Randy at this point is just coasting on so many fumes, right?
Right, and you know. That's going to end up – Randy's going to end up feuding with Bray Wyatt whenever he comes back with The Fiend because
that needs to happen. That's like the only – I think that – to me, that's like the one of the only interesting things I would even like about Randy Orton is to see that feud kind of refueled.
Yeah, and I think that's – I think that's what's leading up to that. So that's what makes me think Orton's not going to win.
It makes a lot of sense, really.
No, but Sheamus – what do you think about this? What do you think about Sheamus – winning and then Drew getting it back from Sheamus, like right at the next pay per view, just kind of giving Sheamus a little taste of everything. And
well, that's interesting.
I don't know. Just something to think about.
Let's see. WWE issued a storyline update on Big E after he was attacked by Apollo Crews on SmackDown. Following a vicious assault at the hands of Apollo Crews on SmackDown, it was announced on Talking Smack, the Intercontinental Champion Big E has suffered a brachial plexus injury.
Resulted
in temporary arm weakness. He is currently convalescing at home. There's another good Vince word, convalescing.
Convalescing in a medical facility.
WWE uploaded footage of the angle where Kyle O'Reilly was stretchered out after Wednesday's episode of NXT. Now, that was pretty cool.
That one's gotten my interest peaked a little bit.
Yeah, they finally, because I mean, they let the Undisputed Era kind of flounder for a while, but now they've done something with it.
Yeah.
O'Reilly was given a
break. They had to, man. Oh,
absolutely. Which kind of tells me if they're doing that, they're planning on keeping Cole down there on the NXT for a while longer.
Yeah.
They just can't figure out.
It looks like he's going to be going after Finn now, yeah.
It looks like. In response,
but, you know, I would have thought that they might have had Riley turn on Cole. Because Cole is such a fan favorite, you know, he gets boos, but people still love him, you know, kind of like Jericho shit, you know. even when he's a heel, people will cheer him and shit.
Kenny Omega spoke to TalkSport about conversations he had with Triple H regarding AEW forming and why he thinks it would be hard, not impossible, for AEW to work with WWE. It's not going to happen. I gotta tell you, the best thing you can do for that company right now is to work on that video game. If they come out with a decent video game, and I haven't heard much about it, if they can get it out there in the marketplace before Christmas, that would be huge for All Elite Wrestling.
Well, they've got plenty of time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
But you got to put something that in the pipeline for a long time, and he was supposed to be the guy that was supposed to get all that shit rolling, and hopefully he's been able to do it. Any other closing thoughts on another award-winning episode of Katie Vick is Alive Alive, Brian?
Closing thoughts. I don't think I have any.
I don't think I do either. I think we're all thought it out for tonight.
We're thought out.
Thought out as it would be. Bryant is able to be followed on Instagram and on Twitter at Bry Sports, B-R-Y Sports. On TikTok, he is Stanley Jackson 23. I myself am at Britt Whitmire on the Twitter machine, BRITTWHITMIRE on Instagram. It's BW4Reels, BDB number 4, REELZ. And the show can be followed on Twitter at Katie Vick Alive. And if you like what we do, you'd like to help us out a little bit, you can shop at our Amazon store, which is katievick.com. That's really easy to remember. It's katievick.com. Does not change the price of the stuff you're buying, but it does help us out. And until next time, fans, we'll see you ringside.
Fans, that'll do it for this week. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.